Okay, let's do this. My name is Noelle, and this is Hot Girl Happy Hour, where I discuss all things pop culture, lifestyle, and hot. Minus the pop culture lately, though, if I'm being so honest. But maybe I'll do a quick little Love Island, not Love Island, Love is Blind recap episode, because I'm definitely gonna do one, because I'm obsessed with this second season. I did take a little bit of a hiatus. If you know me, which a lot of people that listen to this do, you know that I was kind of hit with a doozy at the end of 2023, which has just made me not really in a recording mood, because as I've said, like, I try to only record when I'm happy. Otherwise, like, I can hear it in my voice and everything when I, like, replay my episodes and I'm like, oh my God, like, you do not sound like yourself. Like, there's times I can, like, completely scrap episodes because I'm like, I do not like how I sound in that, and I'm just not going to put out an episode that I don't really like. You know, that's just me. So at the end of 2023, I lost someone very close to me due to addiction. And I was just really blindsided and shocked. For the purpose of the story, I will be calling this person Kane. I knew Kane for about 9 months. I've talked about him here and there on the podcast. We had a little bit of a situationship, even though I hate using that word now. Like, I'm taking that word out of 2024. We need to be freed from the shackles of situationships. And Kane was like the catapult of why I was like, no more situationships, no more situationships. I'm so serious. But I was really blindsided when he died. It's really easy when you care for someone to put them on a pedestal. And I've always seen people in a better light than others do. And it has gotten me hurt a lot. But like, I'm a very optimistic person, just about almost everyone in this world, honestly. And it's really naive and stupid, but it's me, and I'm gonna keep being me no matter what and no matter how much it gets me hurt. There's times I just see the good in someone and other people do not. And sometimes I'm right for it. But there are times I've been wrong and the person does end up shitty. Like, there's times I'm ignoring red flags and there's times other people are just being judgmental. That's my honest opinion. Of course, there's examples of me having, like, not the best judgment with friendships, where maybe, like, my mom or, like, one of my best friends from college will see that somebody's a snake before I do. But something in me, like, I trust my mom and my friends about, like, friendships more than I do relationships for whatever reason. So there's, like, longer forms of me dealing with shitty men and relationships than there are women. One of the prime examples about this is one of my first relationships when I got out of high school and was entering college. I never talk about my ex-boyfriend from when I was 19 because it was honestly such a traumatic situation. I will say his name because he was an evil fucking human being. His name was Dorian. I'm not going to say his full name, but I left home I went to college in Utah, came back home, blah, blah, blah. But I was ready to leave at a pretty early age for multiple reasons. And I met Dorian and he had this great apartment, you know, a great job. He had a car and everything. And he was like, just come move in with me. You obviously need to. It seemed like in the span of literally maybe 10 days, everything shifted. Because me and Dorian, we had known each other, like we'd been dating before I moved in with him for maybe about 3 weeks. And it was shifted so quickly. And Dorian, when I say he is evil, like, I don't use that word lightly. He was the most psychotic man ever. And when my friends would talk to me about him, because I wouldn't talk to my family about what he did, my friends would be like, you need to leave this situation. And I'd be like, no, you guys don't get it. Like, Dorian helps me so much. Like, Dorian rescued me. And that is the way I perceived him. So that's why I stayed with such a shitty fucking asshole boyfriend for so long. Because I was like, there's no way, like, I can live without him. And my whole life became just wrapped around him, which I feel like I have / had a habit of doing. I'm like really working on it at this age. But until I was completely out of that situation with Dorian, I didn't realize how fucked up it was. Like, he was controlling what I was eating and what time I was eating, what time I was going to bed. Like, when I say he would get angry if I were not ready to get into bed at the same time as him, like, I'm not even fucking, I'm downplaying it, if you know what I mean. But when I finally, like, moved completely away from him, had my own place, I was like, oh, wow, that was really fucked up. And then, like, I think I really, like, started thinking about it more and talking about it more when I was, like, 22, you know, like, with my therapist and everything. I was like, that, like, really traumatized me because I don't want to sound like a baby, you know? That's one thing about me, like, I hate being a complainer. Well, like, okay, no, I loved a bitch. But I hate being like a negative Nancy or like using my past as an excuse. But when I talked to my therapist about Dorian, I was like, yeah, I think that really fucked me up. And she was like, well, yeah, you know, like, of course it did. That's not, you're not wrong for that. But the main point is I had to completely remove myself from the situation with him. And when I say completely remove, like I haven't done this since him, but like I told my family, I was like, do not even say his name around me. Like that was the first and only time I've ever changed my number. I've had the same number since. Like I haven't changed it over a dude ever since. Like I was just completely done. Like changed my social media, took off like a 1 year break from Instagram. I was just over it and I had to completely take myself out. Because when someone's doing a bunch of nice things for you, you know, they're taking, like he was taking me on trips to Atlanta, which isn't that nice, but you know, I was just like, wow, like I need this. And even though it's shitty sometimes, that's just how some relationships are. And that's how I really like saw it in my head. But then like taking myself out, I was just like, wow, like why did I even allow myself to be treated like that? And I felt so bad. Like I felt like such a shitty and dumb person, you know? I was like, how did I allow myself to do that? Are you really that insecure? And I thought it was just like a me problem. Instead of seeing like, look how smart he was. Like, of course it was really easy to manipulate me, especially since I was already in an environment that I needed to escape. Just, I was like, this is the lesser of two evils. Like the same way people are like, well, when you vote, you're either way, you're picking an asshole. I was like, if either way I'm doomed to live in an abusive household, I might as well be living in an abusive household where he buys me stuff, which is like a not great mentality to have. And that's where I say, like, I used to really, really struggle with independence, and I'm still working on that if I'm being like real and honest and vulnerable. But yeah, I was just an insecure 19-year-old girl, and it took me a minute to get out of that headspace. I really believe, like, when it comes to leaving a toxic situation, you cannot thrive in a situation that broke you. Like, I hate when people are like, oh, I'm just gonna like break up with him in my head, but stay with him. And then when I'm ready to leave, that's when I'll leave. Like that's not gonna work. You cannot sleep in the same bed as someone every day, every night, wake up and kiss them, and then say you're removed from the situation. I don't give a fuck what anyone on social media tells you. Like you cannot thrive in a situation that broke you. You have to picture yourself as like a beautiful plant, and say you're in like a plant holder, you know, like let's picture one of those like basic orange ones. And somehow the plant holder breaks. Everything's still in there, like, you know, the roots and the dirt and everything. But you have these little shards of glass like poking through the plant. And even though like it still grows, it is not thriving. So you need to pick up every fucking speck of dirt, get your roots that are left, get whatever leaves are left, and get out of the fucking vase. Like it's that simple, because you're going to keep getting poked. You're going to keep getting provoked, and you're never going to be able to grow in the way that you think you could, which is why like even fucking hanging out with your ex's friends. Okay, cool too. Like, okay. No, we had the same friend group. Why are you hanging out with people that you met through him? Like I get there's some exceptions, but I feel like some of y'all try to create exceptions because you don't even need to be seeing a picture that he's fucking tagged in. If this fucking person broke you down, you don't even need to be seeing that. So when I say like, that was like a hard part for me with Kane, because I still wanted to get glimpses of him after he passed. But I knew, I was like, even seeing these pictures that his friends are posting is like hurting me. And I would see a post and it would honestly derail me for like 3 days. And I'm like, stop checking his fucking friends' profiles. Stop letting his friends talk to you. Stop talking to his friends. Because it was just honestly becoming a really hostile and toxic environment. Like I feel on my end and their end. But like, I was just like, I would see his friends and I would be so fucking angry, even though it wasn't my place to be angry, you know? And then that's where I really... Like, no shit, the 5 stages of grief are real. Because there was, like, a week or two of denial where I was like, oh, Kane is not really dead. Like, that's ridiculous to even think. Like, I was like, this is a lie. This is a prank. And then came my anger when I would run into his friends. And I would be like, why did you let him do that? And, like, but the thing is, with an addict, and even though I know this, you know, as like an adult, and I know this as a child of an addict, no one's going to be able to tell someone what they can and cannot do. So it'd be like, you know, I got mad at my friends and he'd be like, why did you let her take 3 tequila shots? Noelle was going to take 3 tequila shots regardless. Like, do you think my fucking... What was funny to me that I was like looking for someone to blame, but that's where I had to like, that's where I really forced myself. I was like, stop looking at his friends' profiles. And what was a harder one for me was stop going to places that his friends go. So I was constantly saying no to invitations. Oh my God, it's like playing you a song on the world's tiniest violin. You don't get to go to the club anymore, bitch. Like, but no, I really was like, okay, you cannot go to these clubs anymore until you have like stopped feeling this anger towards these people, which is why I'm still not going to the clubs. And I'm like, okay, maybe like March, May, March. April's after March, huh? No, okay, let's say April, May. Maybe I'll be able to run into his friends without wanting to cuss him the fuck out. I was just over it. And that's why I'm saying, like, you cannot thrive in an environment that broke you. Like, originally with my ex-boyfriend, Dorian, who was obviously abusive, I thought, I was like, okay, I'll just stay at his place for a few weeks while I get my shit together. But then I was like, even 19-year-old me was like, no, like, I'm not gonna make it 4 months more with this guy. Because once I was done, I was done. So I packed my shit and I left and went with my best friend. And even though I felt like such a loser, because my best friend, like, she lived with her mom, obviously, I was just like, oh my God, like, I'm really coming to these people with a for real problem. That's why you have a village and that's why you have friends. And if you genuinely feel that you have no one to rely on other than this shitty ass person, even though you have friends, if you feel like you can't tell people in your life what is going on, this sounds fucked up, but get new friends. And I did reach that point a while ago. I've talked about this before. Like, none of my friends, that's not true. One of my friends came into my baby shower, but I had these two friends canceled day of, and it instantly set me off. And I was like, I need new friends. Fuck this shit. It's never going to happen to me again. Which is so cute to me, like, because yesterday I was at dinner with my girlfriends and they said, what are we doing for Stacey's birthday? And that kind of shit literally makes me tear up and want to cry. Cause I'm like, wow, like, these people really love me and they really accept me and my daughter, even though that was like one of the last things that I ever put up with from those ex-friends. It just got to a point last year where when I was in this situationship, as we're calling it, I was dealing with Kane and I just wasn't taking care of myself like in the worst way possible. Like, I hadn't been that unhealthy mentally and physically probably since about 2017. And even though it was just like eating a lot and not going to the gym, I feel like that was affecting my overall world. Like, I wasn't making a lot of money. I hated the apartment I lived in. Like, everything was just bad. I was constantly having nightmares no matter what I did. I wasn't sleeping well. I just wasn't happy. Sounds really brutal, but I was like at my final straw with Kane maybe 2 days before he passed. There was a major incident that, like, in my head, I was just like, we cannot come back from this. Even though there had been so much shit that happened between us, this was just an incident. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I can't do it anymore. Like, I was crying. I was like, I am done. So I think it's crazy that a day after I was like, I think I'm done with this, I got my job offer. But then I realized you cannot expect the universe to take care of you when you're not taking care of yourself. You cannot expect the universe to bring good things into your life when your life isn't even set up for those good things. It's like, if I got the job I have now with the life I was living in, let's say like August or June, there's no way I would have been able to keep my job. Like, I used to call out from work because I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so fucking hungover. Or I used to call out from work because I'd be like, oh, I really want to go to this place tonight. Which is like setting yourself up for failure and setting yourself up not for a good career. But it was also like, I hated the job so much. So I was like, oh, why do I even want to go? But the way I have never called out of my job, and a lot of my friends now are surprised at how long I've stayed at my job, which is funny, but I wasn't even emotionally or like mentally prepared for the kind of job, like for my job now. And I realized I didn't have the responsibility for it because of how I was living overall. And it was like, until I started really, really taking care of myself and living my best life, that's when the universe started bringing good things to me. And I stopped getting rejected by things that I honestly didn't deserve, because sometimes you don't deserve the stuff you want. Like, that's what I tell myself. I'm like, oh, I want this, but do I really deserve it? No, not with the way you're living. You know, that's how you have to think about it. Like, sometimes I sound hippy dippy, and I'm a big metaphor girly, so stay with me. You have to picture, like, I picture a lot of things as like people. Like, I picture a lot of like concepts I feel as people. And I really, like, imagine you are this really, really well-dressed person. You know, like, you're in, say, your favorite brand. You're in Chanel from head to toe. Your hair is done. Everything looks good. And you're going into a job interview with the CEO, who's, like, the universe in this situation. But you smell like fucking shit. Well, like, not, like, even shit. Let's say you smell like rotting flesh. Like, it's giving zombie. You know what I mean? The universe is going to be like, I don't even want you coming to my fucking table. Don't even sit down. Don't ask me for anything. So when you're living a shitty life, the universe isn't going to even want to step in a 5-foot radius of you. Like, they aren't going to want to give you anything. And that's what I realized, like, why I wasn't getting anything that I wanted was because I was living such a shitty life. Like, and it sounds like so mean, and it sounds like, well, maybe you just didn't have a good resume then. No, I truly believe I wasn't living a good life. So the universe wasn't bringing me the things that I wanted. Guys, my job would write me up if I were on my phone the way I used to be at my old job. I would be texting him, what are you doing right now? Why aren't you replying to me? Oh my gosh. My managers would have my head if I were doing that all the time right now. So I really feel like if I had stayed in that situationship, if everything hadn't happened, I wouldn't be working my current job. And I'm just currently honestly fucking killing it. Like, that sounds maybe a little cocky. Oh my God, imagine my managers are listening to this. Hi, Annika. Like, I'm damn good at my job and I get so many compliments and I'm doing really, really good. And even though, oh my God, this is where the show Friends to me is eternally relatable. There's an episode where Ross is making a pros and cons list about Rachel, and he puts as one of her cons, just a waitress. And I've gotten teased about my current job because I'm a host at a restaurant, and it's like, oh, like, that's not that serious of a job, blah, blah, blah. But people really don't fucking tease me. I know some of you are doctors. Some of you are mathematicians, blah, blah, blah. I'm a host at a restaurant, and it's not as easy as it seems to run the floor plan of an entire restaurant, manage and find out how many people are going to sit to each bartender, every server. Like, I work hard and I like my job, which is rare for me. Like, everyone knows I am a chronic job quitter. And there are times, like, I'll work a job literally for 2 weeks and I'm like, this ain't it. Because for the longest time, I've just been looking for something that I'm good at and that I enjoy doing. The same way I look at, like, younger me, like when I was 19, and I'm like, oh my God, why did you allow that? That's even how 2024 me looks at 2023 me, where, like, I did have a really fun year and I do stand by it was one of the best years of my life, but I'm just so disgusted with how much I allowed and how much focus I lacked. And having fun is okay, but now I'm really entering an age and just like a point in my life where I'd rather be content and satisfied than having a lot of fun. Because now I just feel so at peace. And even though, like, everyone says sometimes peacefulness is boring, you know, like, sometimes I am bored when I'm just sitting at home. And I can't lie, some of the books I read, I'm like, this is a hard read. Like, how am I gonna finish this fucking book? But it is so relaxing being able to take a breath and just, like, not being worried about anything right now. Not worried about who's checking my Instagram story. Not worried on if some boy is talking to some girl. All I'm worried right now about is my bank account and my body. And my daughter, of course, but that's not even a worry. That's more of a focus. But it is so peaceful and I love it. And I regret living 2023 in such an unpeaceful state because I could have had fun while still having a peaceful life. And right now I just do not have the time for fun, you guys. Like, I'm working sometimes 4 days a week. I'm trying really hard at the gym. And I'm just dedicating a lot of time to myself and my private thoughts, you know? So I just feel so tired and drained all the time.
add being a mom into that, and it feels crazy, but I just feel so much happier than I did last year. I feel like a bit of it, like last year, even though I was posting all the time and smiling all the time, it was a bit of a facade. And now I feel so much more genuinely happy. And this sounds dumb, like saying it out loud, but this is the first time in a long time, or maybe ever, where I think I truly deserve to be fully loved for who I am. I've always been like, well, I can see someone loving me despite this. And I'm finally at a point where I have no ifs, ands, or buts. I have no despite this, someone's going to love me. It's either come correct and love me for who I am, or you can just leave. And I've reached that point even with friendships, which is a hard pill to swallow, because sometimes I'm like, oh, this person just does not like me. And that's hard to feel with a man being like, oh my God, this guy does not like me. But it's even worse with friendships for me, where it like genuinely hurts my feelings. I'm like, oh my God, like this friend hates me. It makes me feel like shit. But I'm just so much more confident and satisfied than I ever have been in life. And I realize this journey has really taken me there these past 3 months, because I used to care about such stupid shit, like keeping text message threads and making sure I post. But it's like when you lose something that big, it's like all these little things do not matter. All these small friendships, these small relationships do not matter. And I'm, as I always say, I'm going to show up as me in the biggest version. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, then so be it. And that's just what I think. I genuinely really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It is, I think, the longest episode I have ever recorded, and I feel like I barely covered anything. But I feel like I covered a lot of base emotions that I've been thinking in the past 3 months, and just gave a roundabout covering of why I didn't really feel like recording. I am gonna record it this week. My series, it's like an addition, but also a new version of my Dream Girl series. And this is my Reality Girl series, where I am going to be propositioning you to act like a Bravo reality star in order to live your best life. Because if you are not pretending like there's always cameras there, you are really not living. Like, main character energy times 10,000. That is what's going to be coming up on Hot Girl Happy Hour. But thank you for listening, and you guys have a great week.